Greet y'all in Christ's name this morning. It's a privilege to be here worshiping with you this morning. I was encouraged by the devotional as well, speaking on temporal or thinking for at the moment instead of thinking for in the future. And I had to think of us as, well, like society today, we are very efficient. We tend to like the things that are quick, things that are easy, things that doesn't take too much effort. And I appreciated that Sunday school lesson as well. I appreciated the studies, the discussion that was brought out. One of the things that I had to think about in our Sunday school lesson is, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And you look at what God is capable of doing, and what are God's people capable of doing if they are in tune with God and their will is in check with what God's will and plan and purpose is in our life. So I enjoyed that. It was really good. Thank you for the ones that led out in that. Yesterday, as we were coming into Dutchess, west of Dutchess, I seen one of the compounds there had a lot of chain link fence around it, and I seen these windmill wings that were spread out over that field. I don't know how many there are. I'm sure a lot of you see them a lot driving past there. I remember a number of years back, we drove down to Cheyenne, Wyoming. I think, as most of you that have traveled in that country, we know the wind that's there. It's extremely windy, and so they tend to set these things up where there's a lot of wind. And for myself, I don't really enjoy areas that are very windy. So I'm guessing you got lots of wind over here as well. Otherwise, I don't think they would be setting them up. And the amount of energy, I was just thinking this morning some, and thinking about the energy that one of those windmills actually produce. I'm sure most of you probably are more aware of it than myself, so I had to look it up. One of those windmills, if they got it erected, can produce enough energy to service 1,500 homes. So that's a lot of energy that those windmills produce. And another interesting fact is, every 2 minutes of energy that reaches the earth from the sun is equivalent to the whole usage of the entire world. All of that energy, all the light bulbs, all the cars that run on electricity, all the homes that are heated, all the homes that are running on air conditioning. And we think about the energy that the sun produces, 2 minutes of sun energy. And I just was wondering, is how can they not utilize that energy some way that we can maybe eliminate some of these other things? And I'm no scientist and no engineer, but I thought that was an interesting fact. 2 minutes of sun is equivalent to what the whole world needs, all of humanity, for one year. I thought that was an interesting fact. And this, think of Genesis, God said on the fourth day that he will bring light to rule the day and to rule the night. And this morning, we have the privilege to worship the God that did that for us. And the energy that he gives for us to use. And I had to think of energy in regards to the title for the message today is intercession, prayer. And prayer is something that I find my mind, I think the message this morning will speak more to me than probably to most of you. And that is one of my weaknesses. I tend to lean towards anything that is more efficient, that's quicker, something that I can Sometimes my patience, let's say there is a situation I'm dealing with, sometimes the patience, I don't have the patience to work through it. And a person wants to look at it, you want to assess it, and you want to look at it and just fix it as quick as possible. Be efficient with it. But sometimes that's not the way how we can work through situations. Sometimes some situations take prayer. It takes immense amount of patience. So some of us, we're all wired different. Some of us have a ton of energy or a ton of patience. And some of us lack that patience. And we tend to not have the time to work through and be diligent and to seek God's direction in some things. And I hope this morning that as we look into God's word, that we will be inspired to step back and pray about whatever situation God has placed us in. In Jeremiah 6:16, God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. God said, "Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then ye will find rest for your souls." And that was Jeremiah speaking to Judah, to the people that were turning their ways away from God. And here Jeremiah says, he comes to the people and he says, seek and ask God to bring you back to the old ways. And what he was referring to the old ways is looking at history. What had God performed in your fathers and your ancestors? And look at the history, how God had performed miracles, and come back to that. And the people said, "No, we're not interested in that. We want to keep living the way we want to live." And that was really hard on Jeremiah to take that. So if we look at history, and I myself am not aware of any revivals that have ever started in communities, revivals that have started in churches, that have started in youth groups. I don't know of any revival that has ever taken place without someone taking the time to pray to God on the behalf of a community or on the behalf of a church congregation or on behalf of the youth or on behalf of children, families. And in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land." I had to stop and think for that on that a little bit. We tend to be busy Christians a lot of the time. We're busy working. We have ambitions. We have desires. We study. We prepare for sermons. We prepare for devotionals. We maybe some of you youth lead out in youth Bible study. There's a lot of things that take place, and we as Christians, we tend to be a very busy people, very occupied people. But I think sometimes there's a danger in being so busy. We want to do what's good. But I think sometimes I'm speaking to myself, and that is I minimize, not intentionally maybe, but I minimize the sacredness or the importance of the duty of intercessory prayer. If you stop and think of some of the things that you have done, which are good things, like serving maybe whatever your responsibilities are in life, wherever God has placed you, you fulfill that duty. But do we stop and pray that God's will be accomplished through whatever your responsibility is, whatever your responsibilities are? And that is something that is a little bit, I shouldn't say a little bit, it's quite heavy on my heart, because I tend to, if there's a responsibility I'm called to do, I'm gonna try to do it. I'll do my best in it. But I need to remember that there is a great importance is to take that to prayer to God. We acknowledge the importance of prayer, but we struggle with actually putting that conviction to practice. That's at least for myself in my life. Martin Luther once lamented that every time he tried to pray, it was as if 100,000 hindrances at once intervened, and the devil himself attempted to throw all sorts of reasons into his life why he could delay to keep him, that he could delay or even keep him from praying. And when I read that, I had to stop and think. I was like, okay, every time there is, I am devoting some time to prayer, there is so many things. It's either your phone rings or somebody needs your attention. Something just comes in into your life. And I could relate to what Martin Luther said. And I oftentimes myself, I find it very difficult to overcome hindrances that come. Then sometimes I tend to just postpone my taking time to pray and find a better time. We got daily schedules. We're busy. We're busy people and doing a lot of good things. But sometimes adding prayer to your life is like you go over to Canadian Tire and you purchase yourself a new sleeping bag and you take it home. You go on your first camping trip and you're all excited. You roll it out and next morning comes all about and you try to wrap that thing up again and you try to put it back into that package. I don't know how many of you have tried that, but you're almost at to that. You put it in that, try to put it in, and every time you push a little harder, and then another thing pops out, then another thing pops out, and soon you kind of just roll it up and you throw it into your truck and we're going to deal with that one later. That's how sometimes hindrances come into our life. There's just things that come, and I think it's just time. Speaking for myself is to stop and just take time to pray and allow God to work in us. And I want to, in my life, I want to be more aware of the importance of prayer, of the intercessory prayer in my life. Prayer is an anchor. Prayer is a God-given guard. We all face things in life. But the prayer is a guard in our life. Prayer is power in our life. In Thessalonians, Paul exhorts the Thessalonians there in chapter 5. It says, pray without ceasing for this and to be thankful. And that is the will of God, by prayer and being a thankful people. And in Colossians, he writes, continue steadfast in prayer, be devoted, watch there wherewith, with thanksgiving. And Paul talks a lot of that. And prayer and thanksgiving go very, very much hand in hand. If you care to turn with me over to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, 18 to 19. Here it says in verse 18 and 19, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching where thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Here Paul is talking and asking the people here to pray for me with all prayer and with supplication in the Spirit, that God would be able to use me, and the scripture, God will be able to use me in that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. So Paul is asking for an intercessory prayer, intercession. Is that something we do for each other? Is praying on the behalf of someone else, for someone else? It's kind of like coming to an intersection and you are in the middle of the intersection and you are almost like the in-between person. And I think that's very important for saints or for Christians everywhere to remember each other in prayer. It's very vital. And here Paul is saying, praying always with all prayer. So he's saying there's more than just one kind of prayer to pray. And there's a lot, and we'll look at a few of them. But he says, and supplication in the Spirit. And there's a couple different aspects that we can look at when he's talking about in the Spirit. And one of the things that we need to remember, or myself I need to remember, is that admitting my inability to pray as I ought. And a tendency not to just pray that it will unfold the way I want it to unfold, but pray in a way that God can work and that God will be glorified. And another aspect is enjoying the communion with God. Enjoy being in prayer, in the Spirit, knowing that there's a living God, the one that created the heavens, the one that created the sun, the stars, the moon, that the same God that created that immense amount of energy, that we can worship that same God, and we can talk to him, we can commune with him as something that's back and forth of a prayer to God. And the third aspect in supplication in the Spirit is to plead the promise of God with boldness and assurance. And I think I was convicted in that, and thinking about praying, praying for someone on behalf of someone else. But thinking, okay, I'm praying for this individual or for this situation, but I didn't see a way that it's going to actually unfold in a good way. And I've been guilty of that. I am guilty of that. Underestimating that God can work in a miraculous way in someone's life. And as well, when we plead the promise of God with boldness and assurance, is praying for someone. Make your request be made known, like we heard Brother Richard shared, and I think it's in Philippians 4, he shared those verses. Make your request be made known unto God, is what the verse was. The importance of when God prompts you or when the Spirit prompts you to pray for someone, then do it. Pray for that individual. There's many different ways and uses of prayer. When we talk about praying, there's adoration prayer where we pray, we praise God for who he is, and we take the focus off of ourselves and we put the focus on God. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. A lament prayer is God wants us to bring our fears and our doubts to him. Like 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. A thanksgiving prayer is praising God for what he has done. A petition prayer is what most of us, we think of when we think about prayer, we think about a petition prayer. We're a prayer by asking God for something, for ourselves or for someone else. Another prayer is a prayer of a contrition prayer, a desire to repent of sin, asking God for forgiveness for things we have done and wanting that reconnection with our Heavenly Father. And that is what Psalmist David says in Psalms 51, and says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. And the last one I want to look at is the intercession prayer. And that is the prayer we want to focus on this morning, is praying on the behalf of someone else. And if you care to turn with me to 1 Samuel 12, is a really, really good example of a man that prayed for on behalf of the people. First Samuel 12, 22 to 25. And this is after the people of Israel, they looked at the nations around them and they said, we want a king like everyone else does. They had a god that they were worshiping, or what they had been worshiping, but they looked around, not being content, looking around, and they said, we want to be like the other nations. We want to have a king like that nation. And here is Samuel. And before Samuel tells the people, here in verse 8, he says, when Jacob was come unto Egypt, your fathers cried unto the Lord, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hands. And you know, you could look at the life story, and here Samuel brings him back. He says, okay, God will, if you want a king, and if that's what you want, God will appoint a king. And God appointed Saul as their king. But he brought him back to that place and said, before this time, before you had a king, I was your God. And remember all the things that I performed for you. And he goes down, and in these verses, really interesting chapter. We won't read all of this chapter, but let's go up to verse 22. And this is Samuel addressing the people. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he had done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both you and your king. And after Samuel brings it to their attention that you sinned against God and asking for a God. In other words, you're pushing God away and you want a king in God's place. The people realize what they had actually done in verse 20. Oh, no, verse 19, it says, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask for a king. The people realized. So what? But Samuel, addressing the people, and he was kind of stepping back from his responsibility. And in verse 23, Samuel says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you. So for Samuel, him not interceding on behalf of the people, to him it was a sin. And I had to think of that to me. Do I do that enough? Do I value or do I cherish a prayer enough that to me I'll consider it when someone for our churches or for our youth or for other couples, for our Christian friends, do I consider it a sin to not pray for someone else? It's pretty serious. Samuel took it really serious in this case. And he says, I am not willing to jeopardize my relationship with God and ceasing to pray for you, even though they had disappointed him in asking for a king. Samuel understood the significance and the power of an intercessory prayer. And so to him, he was not going to stop praying or interceding on behalf of the people. And there's a story that I read, which is an interesting story talking about interceding on behalf of someone else. And that is, some of your Bibles might have, you might have a Bible that's written by William Tyndale. He's one of the first scholars that's translated the Bible from the Greek language to the English language. And I took it out of one of my books. And it says this, it says, an incident in English history illustrates Henry VIII was king of England. William Tyndale, a scholar, wished to translate the Greek New Testament into English so that the English people could have God's word in their own tongue. The king and the church alike refused to allow such a translation. There was not a spot in England where Tyndale was safe to carry out his project. So he went to the continent. There he labored under stress and difficulties. He made his translation. He sent it over to England. The authorities burnt it. Still, he kept at his work, perfecting the translation. Enemies dogged his footsteps. He was deceived, betrayed, imprisoned, and at last burnt to death. His dying words were a prayer of intercession. O Lord, open the King of England's eyes. Little did it seem as though that prayer would be answered. The king was set against the circulation of the Bible, and there was no indication whatsoever that he would change his mind. But that true prayer of intercession had been offered. All unselfishly, Tyndale had prayed that the king's eyes might be open, that he would see what a blessing the English Bible would be to the English people, and would desire the people to have that Bible. The prayer was answered. In a little time, Henry VIII saw the Bible in an entirely new light. Instead of persecuting those who favored its translation, he helped them. He even gave them his royal sanctions to the issue of the Bible. The English translation, which is in our hands today, proclaim whenever we read it, that the prayer of intercession prevails. The English Bible is a witness to the power of intercessory prayer. And I thought that was interesting. You think of a man that was ready to be executed, and his prayer was that God would open the King of England's eyes, that God's work would move forward. And do you believe in the power of prayer enough that we will pray a prayer in that way? And that was a challenge to me. Turn with me over to Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 31 to 32. And I thought, and really, another very interesting account where Jesus speaks to Simon. Verse 31, it says, Luke 22, verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So Peter, he had no idea at this given time that he was in need of a prayer. He could not foresee the future, what was going to happen. And he himself, in verse 33, he says, "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." That was Peter, a strong individual, strong-minded person that I always read of Peter, and we think of such a bold individual and somebody that you want to almost shape your life after. But Christ foresaw the whole picture, and he knew what was going to happen. Christ prayed for him, and when the temptation came to him, and Peter did deny the Lord in verse, turn, if you want to turn over to verse 62. And this is after Jesus' betrayal, and he's arrested, and where Peter was asked if he was one of Jesus' disciples, and he denied Jesus three times. And then after it had taken place, in verse 62, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He remembered what he had done. He had denied. And just in that same chapter, I'm not quite sure exactly how much time had was between here, but when Jesus told him, I am praying for you, and Peter was quick to respond back and say, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison. I'm ready to go to you with death. And it was only a very short period of time, and he denied that he was a follower of Christ. Peter did not utterly fail. I wouldn't say Peter utterly failed, because when the prayer of intercession, Jesus prayed for him, it prevailed. And that very hour, he wept bitterly. He realized what he had done. And that, to me, reading this, is an encouragement to me, is even though we sit in the pews and we intermingle with each other and we talk and we relate, you never know what that person that's next to you, what they're going to be facing, or what they are facing at that time, or what they'll be facing in a few days, maybe the same day. We don't understand that. And I think it's very important for us to remember to let each other know that I'm praying for you. You're in my thoughts. Because the time will come when that individual, whatever they're facing, will know that there's a brother, there's a sister that is praying for me. Even though they might not know what I'm going through, but there is that intercession on your behalf. And there's many accounts that I've written down, but I see the time is getting away on us here. You may ask yourself this morning, is who can I pray for today? Who can I pray for tomorrow? Who can I pray for in the future? And that's very good questions to ask ourselves, or a good question to ask ourselves. There's a lot of things that we do. There's a lot of things that we as Christians, we occupy ourselves with. And these are all good things. And I say, keep on being ambitious. Keep on fulfilling God's plan and serving God wherever you're at. And I would say, as opportunities arise, grasp every opportunity you can. But the question I still want to ask is, how much time do I spend in interceding with God for the advancing of his kingdom? It's a good question to ask ourselves, because sometimes if you're like me, I tend to plow ahead with something. And when things get rough, or when I come to a situation that I'm not sure how I'm going to work through it, that's a time when I take time to pray. And I think that's really backwards. And I feel convicted when I've been studying. Prayer is, why don't I take the time to pray before I get to a situation? When we see people in their sorrow and we see, but one of the things that I am trying to work through or trying to think of is, when we see people in their sorrow and we see people in their making thoughtless decisions in their life, like Lot did with his family. He took them over to Sodom and Gomorrah after he had split up with Abraham, and he took his family living near the residence of Sodom. And how much was there that Abraham could have done or someone else could have done? And we see people in our lives that make some really, really foolish decisions in life, and that you just look at and you say, this is going to be detrimental to your family. There's not much really that you can do other than interceding, praying on the behalf that God would work in that family's life, maybe in that youth, the mother and the father, grandparents, whoever's, whatever situation it is, because a prayer is something that's unobserved a lot of times. It's unobserved, but it does not slip beyond. God can see that. God will hear your prayer. And one of the things I want to encourage us this morning is when we see a brother or a sister, and when they ask you, request a prayer for you, for them. Maybe they're asking for some physical healing. Maybe they're not feeling well. Maybe they're going through some physical trauma or whatever they're facing in life. Maybe they're asking you for direction. Maybe they're talking to you in a broken relationship that they're in the middle of. They're asking for strength to persevere in life. And one of the things I want to encourage you this morning is take the time to pray for that individual at that given time. The power that is there when you take that sister and you wrap your arms around her and you pray, there's something about that physical touch to that individual or that brother. You put your hand on his shoulder and you pray for that individual, what he's going through. There is something that God, how God works through that. I cannot explain that. I've seen it work. I have a friend of mine that is going through mentoring and in some of the things that he's facing in life. And just to witness the really extremely low times that he is going through and to see someone else put his hand on his shoulder and to pray for him. Sometimes it can be a silent prayer. Sometimes it's a vocal prayer that we can pray. There's something how God moves in that. And the other thing is, if we take the time, if we say, brother, you know, I'm going to be praying for you, without actually praying for them, there's many times in my life that I have left that situation and I will have jumped into my truck and I'll be heading down the road and I say, whew, man, he's in a tough situation. And I have forgotten to pray for that individual. So I think it's really, really important for us this morning, if there is a brother or sister, to take that time to pray for him at that given time. And I think that is a witness that we can witness to our communities as well. Not to try to make a scene. I'm not saying that to try to make us being loud or making a scene of how good of an individual you are, but being humble in the presence of God and to pray for that community man that maybe his wife has left him or maybe his children, whatever things that they're faced with, our communities are hurting. There's a lot of people that are hurting. But if they realize that you're a man of faith and you're a woman of faith that will actually take the time out of your schedule, the effect that it will have on you as the person that's praying, it's unbelievable. And I want to encourage you this morning is to believe in the power of prayer, to take that time to just pray for that individual. Sometimes we hesitate because if you're like me, I feel a little unqualified sometimes to pray for that person. We need to, like our devotional was, humility, being humble, acknowledging that we're unqualified, but we have connections to the one that is very much qualified to understand and to work through. And our faith will be strengthened when we raise our voices to the God that we can communicate with. And together, we will be strengthened. And that's the encouragement I want to leave with you, is when we pray, it's okay to pray aloud in front of each other. And may God work in the congregation here. I feel very privileged to come here to worship with you this morning. And I just pray that God's will just continue and you will feel inspired to serve him faithfully. May God bless.